Ah, hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 146, I was very privileged to have on the podcast Crystal Nichols. She is a wellness based lifestyle coach for performers. We talked about many things. We talked about her time when she discovered dance was and performing was going to be her thing, and how she made her journey from Barbados to Toronto, and from Toronto to cruise ships, and so finally her ending up in The Lion King. Also the sort of trials, tribulations she had or going through college, and basically what she's doing now that she has left The Lion King and is setting up as a lifestyle coach. Got to say, she is a joy to speak to, and great fun and great energy. So please sit back, enjoy the podcast, enjoy the show. Don't forget, please subscribe. It helps me out and it helps the show out greatly. And have an awesome day. Hey, peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 146. Oh, my Lord, we have come a long way. I am very privileged to have Crystal Nichols on today, who is a wellness-based lifestyle coach for performers. How are you today, my lady?
I'm really good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
The pleasure's all mine. And look, I've got to start with this. I was looking at your Instagram profile. Look, I've got to say, there's two things what come to mind instantly when I look at your profile. Like, inspiration to jump, leap, and be active as can be. And hamstring injuries. That's all what comes to mind. What? You're like, yeah. Like, yeah, look. Come on now. Come on. You know what I'm talking about.
Let me just say, listen, I've never had a hamstring injury, so let's just take that out of the atmosphere that you just put.
No, look, this is the thing. You wouldn't have an injury. Look, for someone who can jump that high, I'm leaping. And then you're not going to have a hamstring injury. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about other people you know what? That doesn't look too hard. I can do that. Easy. It's simple. It's easy. No. No. That's like, yeah.
Do not try this at home.
No. Do not try this at home. Do not try this getting slightly. Yeah. Look, I'm hoping your Instagram page will be out of my mind if I'm out one day when it's hot, sunny, and I've got a couple of beers in me. And you know what? I was talking to this lady Crystal on my podcast. Her Instagram, I can do that jump. It's easy.
Yeah, please don't be involving me in these lawsuits. That will be inevitable.
I am not involving you in lawsuits. No. But apart from mocking your Instagram page, which inspires and will injure me at some point in the future, look, you have had quite a journey to get here to old London town. Where did you start this from?
Well, it's kind of a long story. Not really, but I can summarize it.
No, you can go on if you want. Hey, it's just me, you, and one or two people might be listening. That's.
Well, so I grew up, I was born and raised in Barbados.
Yes.
And I would say I started dancing from the time I was 5 years old.
Okay.
But I knew that I wanted to do it professionally when I was maybe 14. I knew that I wanted to make this a profession. The only problem is there is no real opportunity to be a professional dancer in Barbados. So right. My mind was already I need to leave. And people in London always think, people always say, oh, but you're from Barbados. Why would you ever want to live here? And I say, well, because I wanted to be a dancer and there was there was no opportunity to do that in Barbados professionally. Yeah. So I ended up going to a university in Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
To study that when I was 18.
Yep. Like, you know what? Like, going to Toronto, like, you're going from sunny Barbados to ever so brief summers in Canada. And then...
and cold.
It's Canada. It's meant to be cold. Everything about
it was like Canada. my first year in Canada, it got to minus 30 in the winter. I went from 30 degrees to negative 30.
Look, this is the thing. Look, I remember one time, I used to do summer camps over in America. So New York State, in my mind, it's always hot. Because it's like, yeah, one year, it was back in 2007. I had to go over to New York to basically see my brother from another mother's first child. I was like, okay, New York. It was like, it's minus 15. I was like, right. And like, here's the thing. I stepped out of a friend who I was staying with, place in New York City, stepped out into the sun, minus 15. It's like, this is nothing. Like, strolling through the streets. Yeah, strolling. I'm walking down the streets, bold as can be, like, wearing a fairly good winter jacket, but not a proper winter jacket for that temperature. Mm-hmm. There was a whole road covered in shadow. And then basically, as soon as I stepped into that shadow, I knew every part of minus 15. Single part. And look, I come from the United Kingdom. So look, cold and wet is a regular thing, but not that cold. But yeah, but how on earth did you manage to sustain going from plus 30 to minus 30? There is a considerable difference. What was your first semester like? Come on, when it got real.
Well, let's just say that I got so ill. Like, I swear I had pneumonia. It was never diagnosed, but I swear, because I had a cold, right? Had a cold. It was never actually confirmed. I had a cold and it developed into a cough.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I went to the doctor.
Yeah.
Listen, I went to the doctor for this cough.
Okay.
The doctor was like, oh no, it's just a cold. It's just a cough. And I was like, can you hear it? It was like, it was like a, you know, a chain smoker, old man. It was like, and he said, oh, that's normal. It's fine. Like, you just, there's nothing you can do. But it was so bad that, so this is the picture I want to paint for you. Mm. We had our end of year exams, right?
Okay.
So it was, we had ballet exams, modern, like different dance exams. Our last exam was modern. And I remember this clearly because I was coughing. So I got through the first part of the exam. And then when we got to the part, the final part where we have to do a lot of jumps, I was in the corner, like, I had a coughing fit. And my teacher said to me, she was like, you pass, just sit. She said, don't. She didn't let me finish it. She was like, girl, you need to sit down. Just sit.
It's like, yeah, I can see you running towards one of your classmates to jump and like let them catch you out. No.
So that was my first winter.
I like the fact you went, I had pneumonia, but it was never diagnosed.
It wasn't, but that I have never experienced a cough like that. I couldn't sleep. I could not sleep. It was bad. It was like I was coughing every time I breathed. I breathe in, I cough. I breathe in, I cough.
I love the fact you're like, yeah, I breathe in, I cough. I breathe in, I cough. Please take me from this cursed land, which is called Canada. So how long were you in Canada for, just out of curiosity?
Only 4 years. Listen, I finished my degree and I was like, bam. I finished my degree and I was done.
Okay, now you know what? It must be very interesting apart from the sort of cold weather, going to, say, somewhere like Toronto, like where you were, Was it so, like, was it much bigger than, say, Barbados as a whole? Or was it a case of, what was the things what really sort of stood out when you were there, first of all?
I mean, yeah, it's a lot bigger. Mm. I mean, Barbados only has a population of, it's like just under 300,000 people, okay?
It's like Liverpool, it's, Manchester.
Barbados is 27 miles long.
Oh, God.
166 square miles.
What, 27? What? It's like, I have run further than that in a day.
It's a dot on the map. Literally a dot. So, needless to say, it was a different experience, because obviously Toronto had all these different people. Yeah. That was the first thing. It had more people. It had more cultures. Because in Barbados, you get Bajans.
Yeah.
You get a few people who, you know, maybe came from India. You get a few Chinese immigrants.
Yeah.
You get a few British expats. And then you get the rest of, you know, you get tourists, like Americans and British tourists mostly. But in Toronto, it was like people from all over Asia, people from all over Europe, people from, you know, there's a big Caribbean community, which was good for me because I got to meet other people from the Caribbean. But there's just a lot. There's a lot going on in terms of cultures. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Okay.
And yeah, but then there's a lot to see. There's, you know, there's theaters and everything's bigger. Like there's bigger cinemas and bigger malls. So I guess bigger everything, more people was my main thing. But I guess the biggest thing for me was that I got to actually train professionally for my dance career. Whereas in Barbados, it's a lot of studio learning. Mm. You learn, you know, you just take classes at studios. Whereas in Canada, you can get a degree. Actually, to be fair, now in Barbados, you can get a degree in dance. Mm. That only came about in the last few years.
Okay.
But before, you couldn't.
I would imagine, like, if you're just doing sort of studio dance, it's kind of, how can I say, it's like you're preparing to do amateur sports compared to sort of doing it on a sort of like real heavy, like professional level.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. It's like, you know, preparing for amateur sports.
Mm.
Where some people are there just for fun.
Yeah.
You know, some people want to do it professionally, but they're not quite there yet. So it's a little bit of a mix in the studio life.
Okay. So would you describe yourself as quite driven? Because like you say from 14, you're like, I am going to be a professional dancer. And like to go, okay, what is my options? Canada, America, like you know what I mean? You went to Canada, which is quite a ways away from like, you know what I mean, Barbados, because you could have went to say Florida, say, if you get what I mean, which is
Canada.
Oh, here we go.
Here's the catch.
Okay.
The funny thing is, I didn't intend to go to Canada at first. That was not my dream. My dream, I wanted to go to New York. Of course, New York is still cold. But the point is, I wanted to go to New York. You know why? Do you know why?
Don't say fame. don't say fame, the musical.
Well, that's one of the reasons. Oh. I am being serious. Not just fame, but a chorus line. Every major center stage, every major dance movie is centered around New York, right? There's Broadway in New York.
Yeah.
So in a dance, you know, a young dancer's mind, New York is a place to be. You know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone wants to be in New York. It's like where all the entertainment is at, right? So I was like, I need to go to New York. Mind you, it wasn't like it was.
It's like, for people who listen to this, like, she, like the head shaking, the fingers are pointing, like two index fingers pointing. I need to go to New York.
That was me. I'm telling you, I was so driven. I was so passionate about being in New York. And you know what happened? in my last year in Barbados, when I was, you know, supposed to audition for all these schools in New York, and I had all my applications in, and I was, you know, getting ready to do all these auditions.
Yeah.
I hurt my knee. Really bad knee injury that summer.
Yeah.
And the catch is that the American schools, the American colleges, all their admissions are in the autumn, whereas the Canadian schools have their admission process in the spring.
Well, I wonder why.
So I was, because I was injured and I couldn't dance. I think it was out for 6 months in total.
Yeah.
I missed all of the American admission, all the auditions for the American school. So I couldn't actually go to any of the schools of my choice. Okay. I did not have Canada on my mind at all. I never even thought about Canada until I missed all the schools. And then my dance teacher said, why don't you try Canada? And I was like, isn't it too late? And she said, no, their admission process is in the spring. Mm. So the school that I went to, which was Ryerson University, I sent them an email because they were only holding in-person auditions. You have to actually go there to audition. And I wasn't yet ready to actually dance because I was still injured. I sent her an email and I said, this is the director of the dance program. I said, look, I am injured currently. The physio thinks that I will be ready to dance again, you know, in a month's time, right? So I will be very ready to enter your program. I can't do the audition, but I do have an audition tape, which I filmed last summer, right? Because I had tried to do this summer program the year before, so I had to do this audition tape. I had to create a video of me dancing. Yeah. I said, would I be able to send this in instead of actually going to the audition? And she's like, sure, let's just see. And so she watched the video and then she emailed me like a month, I don't know how much longer. And she said, yeah, like we'd like to have you. So she admitted me based on the video audition, even though they weren't accepting videos.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then they got in.
Wow. Like, that's fantastic. Because, wow, like, how long ago was it when you went to like actual dance school? How many years? It must be about 7, 8, maybe more.
Since I graduated?
When you graduated, like, yeah.
2012.
Yeah, like, so 9 years. So, like, you think about it, right? 9 years ago, like, today, you could like go, I can perform in front of a camera and we'll put it over Zoom and stuff like this. And that would be quite sort of like normal to like go, yeah, I can show you a video of what I did before in 2012. It's like, that would be kind of unheard of. But like, but to sort of do the sort of challenge of going abroad for dance, because look, when you go abroad to study, say for a conventional subject, I'm going to do English, I'm going to do architecture, I'm going to do chemistry. They don't, it's very rare for those sort of subjects they want you to show in person, if you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. With dance or any type of performance, you got to be there. So that is not a cheap thing to do. So like, what was your sort of plan before the knee injury to sort of like get yourself over to New York? Were you just going to like go, I'm here for the summer? What were you going to do?
No, because their auditions were in the autumn. I was just going to, you know, I was hoping that all the schools that I wanted to go to would all have their auditions on the same week. So then I would just go for a week, like, you know, take a week off from school.
I see. You're an optimist, I see.
Just go for a week and do the auditions and get in and live happily ever after, like in Center Stage and Fame and all these, and, you know, all these other movies and TV shows and stuff. So that was my plan.
Okay. I think the Lord was watching out for you there. It was like, no. No. It's like, she thinks she's got New York City for a week. Trust me, it can be expensive. Quickly.
Yeah. And you know what though, it worked out because it would have been so expensive to actually go to school in New York. Those schools are like 40 grand a year.
Yeah.
Like, what was I thinking?
look, you had a dream. Look, you're just like kind of like, you're like, hey, fame, I wanna live forever.
But you know what though? this is important to, this is an important point, right? Because okay. a lot of times when we think we have a dream, it's not actually our dream, it's society's dream. Because looking back at it, I thought I had this dream, right? But I was like, I only wanted to go there because every movie that I watched said that I should do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was like, wait, I was about to go and live in a country because a movie told me to.
Hey, look, that's some powerful advertising right there. You're working against the Hollywood machine. So, yeah. So, like, this is the thing. Like, you did your 4 years of time in the Canadian, the Canadian cold, and then you were inspired to come here to the UK.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Okay. Well, okay.
After I graduated, I ended up on a cruise ship. Because I was like, I need to get out of Canada. Yeah. Well, how can I get out of Canada with no visas, no nothing? So I was like, ooh, cruise. So I made a video. I was all into these videos before COVID, okay? I was the original video auditionee.
Yeah, I can tell. Look, video's been kind to you. Like, please continue. I'm here to learn a little bit more. So you got out of Canada via boat. Tell me.
Right. I'm on Princess Cruises, right?
Yeah.
So I made my audition video. I sent it in. I got the job a month after I graduated. I was like, boom, bam. We rehearsed in LA and then we boarded the ship in Florida. I don't know. I don't remember anymore. But I did.
I'm glad to see this experience stuck with you over this lifetime.
I did three contracts with Princess Cruises. So I honestly forget all the cities. And there's so many, we did so many cities in three contracts.
Look, Crystal, I understand. It was all about dancing and drinking. ED, dancing and drinking.
Traveling and seeing the world.
Of course, yes. Yes, the traveling and seeing the world is in there. It was like, yeah, DTD, dancing, traveling, drinking. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so, you know, memory's a little... Can't really remember. It was fun, though.
So, right. Yep. So, free contracts, free cruises, like dancing... Like DTD, yes.
Yep.
Dancing, traveling, drinking. Like, yeah. So what did you do after that? I don't want to miss any steps here.
So what happened was the UK was not in my mind. You know what? Wait, this is the point. I forgot about this. Wait.
Okay.
But I was doing these cruise ships, right?
Okay.
The New York dream wasn't done. So my plan. I was like, ooh, I'm going to do these three contracts, right? So I can save money so I can go to New York. I'm not joking. I tried again. So okay. my grand plan was that I'll go the study route. So I actually signed up, even though I had just graduated from this degree program, I signed up for this 1 year dance program, because the certificate program in New York. And again, I made a video because I was on the ship and I got in, right? So that was after my second. So after my second contract, it was all set. So this is like, I know that I'm doing a third contract. I finished my second contract. I've now got into the school in New York. I have my money saved. I'm like, yes, I'm going to go home and have my break. And then I'm going to do my third contract. And then I'm going to New York to fulfill my fame dream.
Yeah, so. Okay. Yep, no, carry on. No, yeah.
So I got home for my break just to take a little rest before my third contract. And The Lion King was having auditions in Barbados the very week that I got to Barbados. So my sister told me about these auditions, right? Because they travel all around the world to audition. My sister said, oh my God, Lion King is here. And I was like, oh, okay. And she said, are you going to audition? I was like, I just got back from doing a cruise ship. I know that I'm going to New York, so I don't need to audition.
I'm going to New York.
And she was like, are you crazy? Like, this is the Lion King. Let's do the audition. So I did the audition, but because I was tired from, you know, my contract, and because I didn't, in my mind, I didn't think I was going to get it, I knew I was going to New York. I just had fun, you know? I didn't have that pressure on me, like, oh, I need to get this job. Like, I was just like, I'm going to have fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, I got to the final. I said my goodbyes, and then I went back on my third contract. I went to my third contract, and I forgot that I did the audition. Now, two months later,
yeah,
I'm already on the ship. I already know I'm going to New York. And the general manager of Disney Theatrical, he was trying to call me, but he couldn't get through because I was on a ship. So he sent an email instead. And he was like, I'm trying to get through to you, blah, blah. Long story short, they offered me the job. And I was like, oh, London.
like, wait, do you have, by any chance, an opening in New York?
I didn't say that. I'm not that crazy. I didn't dare. I would not dare question this opportunity.
Okay.
Can you imagine? I'm so grateful for the job, but can you get me to New York?
It's my dream. Look, I've got this whole sort of fame thing going on. But yeah. He's like, okay. So yeah. Okay. So
yeah.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up here. London was not on my, the amount of people that I never even thought about London. First of all, I thought this email was a scam, you know. I was like, there's no way I got this job. I researched this man. I had to go and research all this information that he was sending me because I was like, I don't know if this is real, you know.
Well, the email had Tolu Akinwumbe, like, on as the name. So,
I was like,
you were like, okay.
Is he really from Disney?
That's like Disney email address. Like, yeah, see him on LinkedIn. You're like, I'm not too sure. Maybe. Does he look like that guy? No. But yeah, so The Lion King. Look, this is, I have not been to the theater in London to watch The Lion King. I will do in the future. I don't know. Before you say a thing. Before you say a thing, young lady. Look, I went to, like, my friend, like, he works for, like, he's a consultant. He works for many sort of charities. And he got us, like, tickets for Macmillan. It's a cancer charity. I don't know if you know it.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yep. Okay. For their, like, centenary, their 100th, like, birthday.
Oh.
And, yeah. Oh, my God. Like, look. There was 6 members of cast from The Lion King there.
Really?
Yeah, on stage at the Palladium. And all I've got to say is, I have watched YouTube videos when you guys get together and you go to an airport just singing. Yeah, like, yeah, you go to a bus terminal just singing, holiday resort just singing. And you're like going, oh my God, that's amazing. But oh, Jesus Lord, heaven of mercy, 6 people just stood on stage and was like, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, oh my God.
Wait, what year was this?
Oh God, I think this was, it may have been 2012, so maybe before you.
Oh yeah, it would have been before me. Yeah.
But it was just like, oh my, you know what, yeah, I think 2012, yeah. And like, oh my Lord, 6 people never sounded so loud, so magnificent, so beautiful. And I was like, shock and awe. I was like, I went home, I downloaded The Lion King to watch it again. Ooh. Because I was like, yeah, amazing, absolutely amazing. So I can only imagine what the whole show's like. And you were in The Lion King for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Up until just last year. Like, are you going back, or is it done?
I am tired.
You're She's like, you have no idea, Miwa. You have no idea. Like, I had to perform, Miwa. I really had to perform. Look, 3 days a week, matinees, evenings.
You don't know. 8 shows a week. We did 8 shows a week. Every week, 1 day off. 8 shows a week, 6 days a week. You get 1 day off. You do it all over again and again and again and again. Sometimes we have 9 shows. If there was, like, if it was Christmas, half term.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You get, sometimes you get 9 shows instead of 8. Still the 1 day off, though. The only time you get time off is if you call in sick or if you are on holiday, because we get 4 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 days holiday, yeah, for the year, that you can allocate wherever you want.
I dare I even ask what your favorite Disney film is.
It's not The Lion. It's actually
What? Yeah?
It's Beauty and the Beast. It's not Beauty The Lion. Lion King is up there. I would just like to say it's up there.
I can imagine. Look, this is Ving. Don't get me wrong. Like, what is my favorite Disney film? Emperor's New Groove. I really love that film.
Ooh, that's a good one, because that's funny. That's a funny one.
Like I can almost recite some of it, but like, this is the thing. I watch it just enough not to be like, I've watched it too much, if you get what I mean. Just like, yeah, I will put it on once a month and just like,
that's like me, I'm the Parent Trap.
Ah, you're okay. Now you see.
I know so much of the lines. I just say them.
Oh my God. Like, I'm learning so much about you. Everywhere else is. So yeah, it's like, it's like Parent Trap. Awesome. But like, this is the thing. Like, when, like, I have to ask, like, now, you've gone through your studies, you've gone onto the cruise ships, like, did 3 contracts, but getting The Lion King, that is like, that's like going into like the Premier League of shows, definitely as a performer and a dancer. Like, what was your sort of feeling when you did get the whole like thing? Was it a case of, yes, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve, or was it like kind of like, it wasn't what you expected? What would you say it was?
I guess it's a little bit of both. I think people in general always have an idea of what they think they want, or like what they want, and then you achieve that goal and it's like, okay, now what's the next thing? Like, I feel like we just, as people, we never take the time to enjoy it. Not saying that I didn't, but I think maybe in my first year, I was like, oh my God, I'm in The Lion King. Oh my God. Like, everything was like, And then, you know, by the second year, I was like, what else can I do?
Just like, yeah, that was nice. What part did you play in The Lion King? Dare I ask?
So I had different parts. So I started as a gazelle.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in my fourth year, I became the cheetah in the ensemble. And then I became a Sarabi cover. So I covered Sarabi when she was off sick or on holiday, I covered her.
Wow.
So I kind of did a few different things to keep me busy.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. So like, this is, so when you got to sort of year two, you're like, is there more I can be doing? Like, so was it just a case of you're like going, okay, I'm now doing this. I'm like, it's work and it's I'm enjoying it. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, it became like, this is work.
Mm.
So like, I mean, it's fun because obviously we're not sat at a desk. You know, we get to do what we love. We get to dance. We get to have fun and laugh and smile. And we get, you know, at the end of our work day, people applaud us, which is always nice.
Well, yeah, straight ego, say no more.
But then it just becomes like just a normal part of your life. Like, it got to the point where people would be like, oh my God, whenever, you know, when I used to notice it, when I was coming back from Barbados and I had to go through immigration at the airport. Customs. And then they would look at your visa work, and then they'll be like, oh, you're in The Lion King, because obviously it comes up. And they would be so, they'll be like, oh my God. And I'll be like, yeah, just let me in.
Come on, look, I know I'm in The Lion King. You know I'm in The Lion King. Look, that kid over there who's staring at me over there, he knows I'm in The Lion King. Come on. They're like, hey, lady, were you a gazelle? Yes, I was a gazelle.
No one recognized. We were wearing like all these puppets and all this makeup. No one recognized any of, like, no one knows who we are. That's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah. But like, this is the thing. I think what people don't realize is the whole sort of the extent of how much work it is. Like, because when you're like talking about, oh, 8 days, like 8 shows a week, like you're like, okay. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone told me to sort of jump, dance, sing, do all of that type of things, like for like, how long does The Lion King last? Is it a 2 hour show or a 3 hour show?
2.5 hours.
Hmm?
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours of activity. And like The Lion King is not what I call a static show, if you get what I mean. Yeah.
And the ensemble, I would just like to say that the ensemble carry that show. No offense to all the principals. But
yes.
The ensemble, we're almost always on stage. We are the grass. We are the animals. We are the, you know, the hyenas, the cheetahs, the giraffes. We are in and out, changing costume, in and out, you know,
No, but like, this is the thing, like 8-9 show week. That is like pure grind, and like, you know what I mean, like when you like
sick, like, and to also have and also to have that standard of performance where even if it's our 8th show, it's the audience's first
show.
You've right,
please bring that game of excellence.
Yeah, so you have to have that standard.
What would you say would be, say, 3 lessons you picked up from your time being in The Lion King? Or, like, hey, any lessons you may have picked up from the cruise ships as well?
That's a good question, Miwa. Actually,
okay.
Let me hit you with lesson number 1.
Okay, I'm here. I'm willing to learn.
First of all, I learned, number 1, to actually take care of my health because...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a little secret, right? When I was at Ryerson, when I was at university, I used to have a slice of pizza and a can of Coke every day. I'm not exaggerating. I actually think I had it every day. At least every day that I was at school. Because I used to stop in a school cafeteria for lunch and get some pizza because I love pizza and get a can of Coke. And I thought it was fine, right? Because see, the thing is, our society values, you know, being thin. So people look at someone who's thin and they say, oh, this person's healthy. And I used to think that because I was naturally, I'm naturally thin, I don't have to do anything, so it doesn't mean that I'm healthy, right?
Yeah.
So I used to think though that I was like, oh no, because I look like I am thin,
yeah,
I have to eat properly. And then when I got to the Lion King, the universe laughed at me because all the things I was doing, like drinking all that Coke and eating all that pizza and not taking care of myself, all the things I could get away with on the ship or in school, I could not get away with on that stage doing 8 shows a week. I was so tired, so broken down. When I tell you that, this show broke me down to the point that I was like, oh, health is, okay, so there's more to health than just being thin. That's the thing the one thing I learned. I learned how to actually take care of myself in a way that made myself, to make me feel good and not just this appearance thing that our society values, if you know what I mean. Because that show, you cannot do that show if you don't take care of yourself.
I can only imagine because, like, yeah, that is a level of cardio, intensive cardio. I don't know if I would be able to sustain. Like, if I was on that stage, you'll most probably just see me sit down and like eventually like lay down and eventually just like have a nap. Just like, oh no, it's like, yeah, it's like game of stage.
That was a rude awakening. I was like, oh, I'm not actually healthy. I'm not healthy. Okay, so how do I get healthy? So I learned that. I learned number 1.
Yeah.
Number 2, I learned I don't want to go to New York.
You don't want to go to New York. For the last sort of like for the whole of the first of this like podcast, it's like, yeah, New York, New York. Yeah, it's like New York, New York, New York. And now you're like, no, what turned you off from New York? I have to ask. I have to.
Well, I will admit that the first 2 years that I was at the Lion King, I was still hoping to get to New York eventually. I kept trying to think of ways, like, ooh, how can I get to New York? Maybe I can ask them to transfer me to the New York cast. And I realized that doesn't happen because there's some weird thing where the Broadway cast has to be Americans. Has to be Americans or South Africans. Because, yeah, okay, the way the Lion King is contracted, there has to be a certain number of South Africans to make it feel authentic.
Right, it's the, like the, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so there has to be a certain number of South Africans in every cast everywhere in the world.
Right.
But in America, because of all their immigration laws and blah, 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 they'll obviously allow the South Africans to be in it because they have to be in it.
Yes.
But then everyone else has to be American.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, so I can't just transfer. And then I said, and then I think I just started to enjoy living in the UK. And then when I met my husband, you know, in the UK, and I got, so I was like, oh wait, I have friends, and I just enjoyed being in the UK. And all the friends that I was making, and you know, having a more stable, because other, you know, before that I was traveling. I went from Barbados to Toronto, from Toronto to cruising.
Yeah.
So I was like, do I really want to leave all the friends, all the people that I've met, the base, the solid base that I have, to go and, you know, start all over again? I was like, Then I started thinking, is New York really that good? And I was like, it's dirty, it's crowded. Oh my God, no offense to anyone who is from New York. I don't know if anyone here is from New York listening, but I am so sorry if you are offended. I do not mean to offend you. I'm just telling you my thought process, yeah? So I just put my life in perspective and I just said, you know what? That was never my dream. That was a dream that society programmed me to believe. Mm. And it doesn't have to be my dream. Dreams can change. It's fine. I'm happy where I am. Boom, bam, done. Let go of that dream.
Right. It's like, okay, no, I'm liking that. Look, this is the thing. You basically, how can I put it? London finally wore you down and went, yes, you're here today. It's like, just like, when you barge some poor innocent to get onto that tube, all knowing there was another tube 1 minute behind it. Yeah, that was the first step to you becoming a true Londoner. And didn't feel guilty when you just slid into that chair, into that seat on the tube, looking at some person who might be disabled, ill, or sick. Because I, my chair now, deal with it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my Lord. So this is the thing. So now you're out of the Lion King. You're here to stay. You're married. You're happy. And now, what was your sort of step into like you being a coach?
Yes, good question. So it was like, so kind of what I said to you about realizing that I actually wasn't healthy, reality check.
Yeah.
Like looks are the appearances, sorry, like outward appearances are not what you think they are. So, you know, people always, as I said, people always say, oh, you're thin, you must be healthy. It's not true.
Yeah.
So when I was in my fourth year, I was just like, I was basically just stressed and I just wasn't in a good place mentally. Physically, I was okay. I was kind of hanging on at that point. eating well enough.
I can do it. It's like, if I just pray to the Lord, I can do this.
Exactly. But mentally I was like, I just, you know when you're just drained. Now I recognize actually it was probably burnout that I was struggling with, because I felt I was exhausted no matter how much I slept. I had no motivation. I was just kind of like going through the paces, just doing everything like blah blah blah. Oh my God, if there's anyone from Lion King listening, I know, I love the show. I'm just talking about my thing.
Is that going? Okay. All I've got to simply say is, yeah, I like my money in brown envelopes, like denominations of 20s and 50s. Yeah, first of the month. That's what, so I can pay my bills. It's like, I'm just saying, if that envelope comes to me, I can't not see the light of day.
Well, so, I mean, so yes. So I decided, okay, I need to actually do something. So I just started doing some more research into, like, I started following all these health podcasts.
Yeah.
I started reading more books, you know, like written by these doctors and health experts and blah, blah, blah. And then I just realized that I enjoyed it. And so this is the thing. Because I was still doing this in The Lion King, I was still reading and blah, blah, blah. But I wasn't, like, I didn't have the time to actually explore it fully because I only had one day off. And then when COVID happened, I was like, ooh, I have time now.
Yeah. So, everyone had time for a period. It's like, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So I said, well, you know, how can I actually use this time to be beneficial? And then because that was the thing that I was, you know, passionate about other than dance.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, how can I explore health and wellness more fully? And then I just did some research. I didn't know that being a health coach, I didn't know a health coach, a wellness coach was a thing. I didn't know it was a thing. Mm. I didn't know you could make a career out of it. So I was like, when I was researching and I found out you could be a health coach, I was immediately like, yes, on it, done, boom, bam. So I enrolled in at the Institute of Transformational Nutrition, which is online, so it was perfect. Mm-hmm. I got my certification. I finished it in January of this year. And then, so I've actually been coaching people in the cast, people that were in the cast before. And now I'm getting more clients through social media and referrals and stuff like that. So I'm still performing. I'm still kind of in the performing world.
What do you mean kind of in the performing world? You're either in or you're out. What's that exactly?
Well, okay.
Uh-huh.
So this is my thing now. I've now come to realize that the musical theater, West End, 8 shows a week, that chapter is, I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay.
I'm saying that is not something that I want to do anymore. So I'm not doing that anymore. So now I've decided that I still enjoy performing, I want to do it on my own terms.
Mm.
So I'm only doing, I know this is going to make me sound like a diva. I am only doing short contracts, commercial work. Anything that is like 3 months and less, okay?
Okay.
In, out, rehearse, perform, done. I'm doing that. And then the rest of the time, I'm focusing on my one-on-one coaching.
I see. I thought you were going to say for your, like, yeah, your performing work, it's like, yeah, 3 month contract. Has to pay me 5 figures. I'm not going to get out of bed.
Oh, no. No. I'm not like an actual diva.
No. Oh, but like, this is the thing. Like, look, you've done 6 years of intensive, like West End proper grind. Like, I think doing like something a little bit short term to sort of help you pursue your new chapter is perfectly like fine and reasonable. And if anyone can't see that, then I think those are the people who've got the problem. Because look, if there was a way for other people to support themselves doing a 3 month contract to sort of, so they can do something else, I think a lot more people would do it. It's just, you know what I mean, doing contract work and basically working for yourself, let's just say the income is not what you would say is going to be steady. In the beginning, you need to sort of really get that sort of hustle and grind. People might go, oh, don't say hustle, don't say grind. But no, it's the simple fact of the matter is, if you don't work hard, if you don't push yourself, it doesn't come, you know, which you obviously know because you've gone through it time and time again. But like, what would you say the like sort of differences in challenges you'd found from like basically what you were doing before in like, as a performer, now as a coach? What do you think they are?
One challenge is, this is going to sound really stupid, but one challenge is making myself stay fit.
Stay fit.
I know it sounds, you know, counterproductive and contradictory, but
yeah,
I will preface this by saying that I have a dog, so I walk for an hour every morning and I walk in the evening too. So I do get outside and I do get my exercise, but there's a difference between walking and being in that performer shape, you know? So the problem is that obviously when I was dance, like full time in the Lion King, I was always moving, always jumping, blah, blah, blah. But now obviously I have to, you know, motivate myself to stay at that level, because obviously even though I want to do more like contractual jobs, I need to still be at this level, you know?
So
it's just hard getting the motivation to keep myself here, even though I'm not doing it as full on as I was before.
And how have you been able to keep yourself motivated?
Listen.
come on there.
Sometimes it doesn't happen, okay? But one thing that helps me is that I get my husband to work out with me. I'm like, yeah, let's do this weight training thing, this YouTube video together. And then he'll do it. And that helps me. I need people to motivate me. I'm a people person. I need people to motivate me. I'm not the kind of person that can just go to the gym by myself. I just like, you know, yeah. So when if I can get my husband on board, if I can get other people on board, like sometimes my sister will do a workout with me, even though my sister's in Germany at the moment. So I'll get her like on Zoom, we'll do a workout together.
Yeah.
If I can get her or my husband, I'm usually fine.
So okay. I understand. So that basically group activities is where you kind of thrive. I see how you could be a very good fit for the Lion King, because it's a group activity which you have to do on a regular basis. So when you say, yeah, there's times where it doesn't happen, what would you say have been the things that have made you not succeed, like fail at the sort of task at keeping yourself at that sort of peak performer level?
I mean, I wouldn't say that it's to the point where I failed completely. I never go like a whole week without doing any kind of training.
Yeah.
But I guess what I mean is like sometimes a day will come where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to train. I'm going to do this weight training today.
Mm.
And then I just don't feel like doing it. And I just don't do it. Yeah. But I do it the next day.
No, I can imagine. Like, this is the thing. Like, I think with regards to what you're doing currently with like your like coaching, and then basically in that sort of realm of doing your 3-month contracting, you must be find yourself kind of stuck in the middle sometimes, or like you find yourself in that middle on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
How do you like? What would you say are the things you use to sort of like work your way from like through that, like basically new business, and like you're basically still like, in fact, you're kind of doing 2 new businesses at the same time.
Yeah.
How do you get that balance?
Look, I am still working out because there are times where, you know, like for instance, this is June.
June.
In 2 weeks, I'm starting rehearsals for a film. Can't say what it is.
Okay.
But it's for a film.
Okay.
And I'm basically trying to find a way for me to, because the rehearsals are Mondays to Fridays for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find a way to fit my client in that time period, but still be able to do my rehearsals. So I'm still working out. I'm still working out the tweaks. But I see exactly what you mean, where it's kind of at the point where sometimes something will come up, like a performance, a rehearsal, something will come up, and then I just think, oh, how can I fit these clients in? But what I have to do is I just have to make use of my weekends when these things happen, because I know that it's going to be short contracts anyway.
Yeah.
When these things happen, then I just have to make sure that I make use of my weekends and, you know, slot them in where I can. Maybe you utilize the mornings, maybe utilize some evenings, but I will find a way, because I am committed to my business and to my clients. So I will find a way, whether I have to slot them in, you know, in the evenings, in the morning, before I go, on the weekends.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a way. But yeah. I will find a way.
No, like, this is the thing. Like, I think it's a case of, like, yeah, one of, like, I've said this before on this podcast when I've spoke to anyone who started their own business. One of the misconceptions of not people necessarily starting their business, sometimes it is, but most people from the outside, like, go, yeah, you're your own boss. You can work whenever you want. Like, you've got all this, like, you've got all of this free time. But they don't actually kind of realize that, okay, a business is a living entity, which you've got, like, it doesn't survive without you putting in the effort, like, keep taking care of it, making sure you nurture, making sure it grows. And when you, like, go, yeah, it's day number 5 and it looks like my weekend's gone. Like, yeah. Have you actually had to sort of explain that to people, or have they just, like, gone, yeah, you're on easy street now?
No, you know, it's funny because a lot of the people that were in the cast with me that have left, they have also started their own businesses. Oh. So a lot of them are actually in the same position as me, where they're like,
right.
Like, but they understand.
Okay. So it, like, dare I say, the Lion King is an incubator for, like, up and coming entrepreneurs which like to dance.
This might be.
Well,
I mean, I'm gonna ask you this: how do you manage having your own business with, you know, having free time? Because sometimes what can happen is you just use up all your time to work on your business. So how do you?
No, this is the thing with this podcast of mine. Look, there is the truth about podcasts when you first start out, especially when you don't have a large following or, like, anything like this. There is, like, you hear people like, I make X amount of money here, there, and everywhere. No, it's not like that. There is no money in podcasting. And, like, it's a case of you got to really sort of push forward and make it happen. Now, there is a large percentage of learning a craft with regards to podcasting, because, like, people like, oh, you just sit there and talk. It's like, yeah, yes, it's true. I do sit here and talk, but facilitating and maintaining a conversation is not as easy as some people would think. No, and, like, this is the thing. And trust me, I don't know if you've been on many podcasts or you've listened to some podcasts for up and coming people. There are podcasts where you will hear a person which are like, well, yes, and this is the whole thing, and, like, this is, like,
yeah.
It's like, and you're like, they're literally sucking the living daylight out of the person, and you're like going, oh my God. Or, like, or you get other people which you just simply have podcasts where it's like, yeah, so tell me about this, by the way, let me just, before you say anything, and they talk about a good half an hour about themselves, and, like, that person's just some prop for them to be, like, there. Like, so podcasting like this, it will hopefully be a business. Not hopefully, I will make it a business over the course of time, but that course of time can be anything from 2 to 5 years. But it's gonna take some long grind. I was quite fortunate with regards to the pandemic. And, like, I don't say this in any way to sort of belittle anyone's loss or that the hardships they went through, but I had a large chunk of time given to me back. Yeah. And it was like, okay, while I'm here, let me make the most of it. And yeah, I started my podcast in 2019 and I was like, no, like, right now, let's just go with it, get as many people booked as we can and do. And yeah, like I would say it accelerated my sort of progress with the amount of people I interviewed, maybe by a year, maybe by 2 years. But now I'm back at work, fortunately. Same company I was with before. Like, and so now I'm having to sort of work out how to make this work so I can still interview people in the evenings, like most probably on the weekend, but also trying to maintain some semblance of, yeah, my relationship, my life and everything like this.
Yeah.
But to say, is it easy? No. To say, will the rewards come? Who knows? They might do and they might not. It's one of those things. Am I learning a lot? Yes. And like, I would always encourage someone to, like, if there is something they want to do in this world, to go for it. Because it doesn't mean you've got to be some multi-millionaire, some, like, you know what I mean, some billionaire. It's like, yeah, it's a pursuit of happiness. It's a pursuit of joy. It's a pursuit of what brings you purpose. And like, if you can do those things in this world, that is the things which will make you better, stronger, healthier, like wealthier. And when I say wealthier, I don't mean financially. Just wealthier in soul, spirit, and like, you know what, you can put any other airy flary like bow on that as well, but it's the truth. And like, yeah, I don't know how, with regards to yourself, how you see some things with regards to this, but what do you think is driving you with regards to the two businesses you're going into right now?
Well, for me, the whole reason I started, like right now, the people that I work with are performers and people in the, you know, creative industries. And what made me want to work with those people was that I understand the struggles and how hard it is to be in this industry and take care of yourself. Because a lot of times, you know, you feel like, okay, I need to do that. I need to do 8 shows a week. I need to be at my best. I need to be perfect. I need to do this audition and that audition. And then you neglect your health. Not that you mean to, but it just comes. It's just like, oh, well, I'll take care of that later.
Yeah.
And I understand firsthand how burnt out you can get from having that mentality and having that, you know, I'll take care of my health later. I'm just all about the grind and in terms of like, go, go, go.
Yeah.
And drinking a can of Coke all the time. Anyways. So because I understand that from my experience, I just felt passionate about being able to help other people that are in the same position. Because when I was learning everything that I was learning in my certification, I said to myself, if I knew all of these things when I was performing, you know, training, it would have made my life so much easier. Like all of the foods that I learned about, all of the lifestyle habits and all the mindset skills that I've learned through just even this year alone and stuff that I'm still learning. I said, if I knew this, or if other performers knew this, it would be so much easier to actually do the things that they wanted to do, to, you know, to go into the auditions with confidence, to perform 8 shows a week and not feel so tired and burnt out. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to use this information to help other performers. And that's what I've been doing. And that, I think that is what drives me, because I see it as I'm serving these people. Like when I create content, I see it as I'm getting the information out, the information that people need to get, right? I'm giving it out for free. Like you, this is the information that I learned. Take this information, incorporate it into your lives. And I think that is what is driving me primarily into the coaching. It's just my, you know, my passion about serving these people and just sharing with them the knowledge that I've learned. And then in terms of the performing side of things, what drives me in that area is that I just like to perform. That's for me, it's like just fun. I just like, you know, I love the whole process of meeting a new group of people.
Yeah.
A brand new group of people. And you're like, ooh, we're going to create something from this group. And there's the process of creating something from nothing and having a, you know, letting a whole choreography bloom, you know, and just seeing your work in the finished process. And just, yeah, just sharing that experience. That is what I like about performing. I think it's, yeah, it's more of the people, you know, being with people and creating something together. And that's what drives me in the performing world. So it's good because I feel like they kind of mesh together, because I feel like, you know, I'm coaching performers and I'm working with performers.
Yeah.
So
like, this is the thing. Like, what I would simply say is, in some regards, you are, how can I put it? You are acting like a big sister for like some of the performers which are coming up, and which most really be using this information. Because look, you mentioned perfection, and when anyone mentions perfection, it is a thing what doesn't exist. You never find perfection. I'm waiting for the perfect moment. And you are going to be waiting for a long time, son, a very long time.
Yeah.
So trying to sort of take that sort of burden of perfection that offers someone's shoulders, that's one thing. And like, there's a thing called excellence, which is obtainable, and it's shown all around us. And going for that, don't get me wrong, it's no easy feat, but it is definitely something which can be achieved. But I think, yeah, you being like, with your experiences and everything like this, being that sort of big sister to like some performers, and like, you know what I mean, that comrade in arms for like others who've gone before you. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's how I see you. I don't know how you see yourself when it comes to that side of things on like, you know what I mean, for your coaching business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess a big sister sort of role would make sense, especially for the ones that are coming up, the ones that are just graduating from all the dance colleges, and you know they're hungry for that, for their goals, right? And they they're the ones that they don't see anything else but their goals. They're like, I want to be on this West End stage, and that's all I see, and that's all I pay attention to. And that perfection thing is drilled into performers. And it does, it's, you know, it's what you said, it doesn't exist, but it's drilled into us from a young age. You know, you're always told things like, you know, just do it better, you know, just get your leg higher, do more turns. It's always more and more and more and more. And it's always, nothing you do when you're training, nothing is good enough. It feels like nothing you do is ever good enough. I will tell you that even when I was in The Lion King, and obviously that is probably the biggest musical in the world, I still didn't feel that I was enough. You know, I still have this thing of, oh, I could do more.
Yeah.
I should be doing more. I should, you know, you just never feel like you are, that's how we're trained and it's drilled into us.
Yeah. But like, okay, now that you're like out of the like Lion King and everything like that, like, do you feel like you're enough now? When it comes to sort of now with regards to your like choreography, well, your performing side of your business, and like, yeah, your coaching side of your business, do you have satisfaction? Do you feel like, yeah, I am enough? Or is it still something which still plays with you?
I would say that now I know that I am. I still get those triggers of those perfection triggers sometimes. But the thing is, I'm aware of it now. When I was younger, I feel like I wasn't aware of the whole perfectionism thing. I just thought that, oh, this is normal or this is what is correct.
Yeah.
Whereas now I feel like if I feel any kind of trigger where I feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I can actually recognize, oh, no. That is your perfectionism, diva. That is not you, because you are enough, and you're enough just because you exist. Okay? That is it. You don't have to do anything. So I know this now because I'm actually learning, you know, from all my wellness certification and all the stuff that I read. I know it now, but it's just a matter of practicing. I just have to keep practicing going.
No. I hear you. And like, this is the thing, like, that's the thing. Keep going. Because like, this is like, that is the hardest thing to do. Because look, there are so many people which start something and it's ever so brief. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, I've done this 5 times and I haven't succeeded. Time to do something new. Or I've been working at this for the last sort of like 3 to 6 months. Time to do something new. And like, every tale you hear of success, every time up for someone or anything like this, that person has never been an overnight success, truly. It's taken years, absolute years.
I forgot who said this quote, right? That there's no failure, only feedback. I don't know who said it, but I know this quote and it resonates with me. Because it's like, it's not failing, you're just receiving feedback. And then you just try something else, but you just, okay, this thing didn't work. Let me try to keep going in a different way. You don't change your goal. You just change your destination to the goal. You just keep finding.
No, like, this is the thing. I'm not too sure. Like, Edison, Thomas Edison, put it this way when someone asked him about the electric light bulb. He goes, like, yeah. Like, you basically, you've said you've done, like, had 10,000 tries at making an electric light bulb. He simply replied and went, no, like, I worked out 10,000 ways not to make an electric light bulb.
Yeah.
But this one works perfectly fine.
That's how you have to look at things. It's just feedback. It doesn't mean that you failed. It's just telling you, okay, maybe this way isn't working. Maybe try a different method or try a different way of doing it or thinking about it.
So if I was a young performer looking to get on the stage and dance and stuff like this, what would you say would be key pieces of advice which have helped you in the past or which you've observed for others?
I would say number one is to not be so caught up in your plans because from my experience, as you heard, not much in my life turned out the way I actually planned, because I was, if it did, I would be in New York. So the point is to trust. I just want to say, trust the process of it and trust that, you know, when you have that vision of whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, you identify, this is what I want. This is the vision that I have. And you're showing up every day and you're doing the work to get to that goal and that vision. Just trust that it will work out. Like, keep holding that vision and keep showing up every day and doing the work and trust that that process will lead you to the goal. But don't try and just like make all these random plans. You can make plans, but make sure your plans are actually aligned with the goal and not just you trying to make these random plans because you think that is what you should be doing. Because that's what I was doing. I was planning to go to New York to be a dancer. The goal was to be a professional dancer, right? But in my mind, I thought that to make that happen, I needed to go to New York. So don't plan so much about how you're going to get it done in so much detail that you don't leave any room for God to help you get to the goal. Okay? Like, you have to leave room for some magic. Just leave some room.
Yeah.
Just leave some room is what I learned, because I was trying hard to go to New York. And God was like,
I'm going to go to New York. Okay, I'm going to have to stop you on that. Here's a knee injury. It's like, I'm going to go to New York. I'm like, no, wait. Look, Canada. Oh, okay, I'll go to Canada. Okay, I'm out of Canada. Now, I'm going to save money. I buy going on cruise ships to get to New York. It's like, no. Look, you're not getting it, kid. Okay, look, I'm going to give you this Lion King thing. It's like, okay, now I'm going to go to New York after doing 2 years of this. Can I get it? No. Immigration, right? That happened. It's like,
exactly. And the thing is, I only wanted to go to New York because I was like, oh, that's what I need to do to be a professional dancer. But then I was a professional dancer and I was still trying to go to New York. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm already what I wanted to be. I've already reached the goal.
Yeah, no,
like, that's the goal. I'm doing it in a different country.
Yeah. Do you think it's sometimes hard, like, to take those moments where, like, okay, especially when to the whole world, they look at you and go, yeah, you're like got a dream job, you succeed and everything like this, you're in the grind. But to take that sort of moment to look around and sort of like take account of what's going on in your life, like the good, like the bad, and like, yeah, like the extraordinary. Would you say that is a hard thing to do?
I would say so, because even when, as I said, like even when I got to The Lion King, I was like, okay, what's next? But that's just what people do. And I used to hear people say, you know, when people say it's not about, you know, the destination, it's about the journey. And it's like, it's about the destination. But wait,
people, I have arrived.
Exactly. Yeah. But see, now I understand, because now that I'm looking back at how I got, you know, got here, now I'm like, okay, wait, I actually understand that it is about, like, life is all about the pursuit of happiness, right? When it's about that joy that you feel when you're working towards something, when you are experiencing that passion for what it is that you're enjoying.
Yeah.
It's not actually about reaching this goal. Like, yes, it's great to reach the goal, but what people need to understand is that when you get to that goal, you're going to find another one, another one, another one, because that's just the nature of the human experience, right? So the trick is to always just be enjoying what you're doing, because if you're not enjoying what you're doing, then what is the point? Like, if you're miserable and hating your life, all to reach this one point, that when you get there, I guarantee that when you get there, you're just going to, you know, create another goal.
Yeah.
So what is the point in just living your life to have to be miserable, to get to a goal, to then get there, and then create another one, to miserable again, to reach that one?
Yeah. Now, I think, like, let's see, like, the amount of people who always, like, succeed at, like, say, an epic goal. I'm going to go with Tyson Fury when he won, like, heavyweight title of the world. He's like, I achieved it. And then it was just like, he woke up the next day as champion. He achieved everything he did, and he was like, I've got no purpose anymore. What And he went through 18 months of, like, shit, hell, maybe even longer, where it really got close to, like, for him, where he almost, like, considered taking his life, I think, a couple of times. Went overweight, like, everything fell apart. And it took him a long time to turn that around. Lots of conversations to find that sort of new sort of purpose and everything like this. To find that new direction. I sometimes think, how can I put it? Having a set goal sometimes is not the best way. I think having a goal which can evolve and always grow with you, like, that is sometimes the trickiest thing to do, because if someone went, what is that? And I can't really sort of quantify that for someone else, or like to sort of like go there. But every time sort of like going, yeah, I've got here, but it keeps growing. I've got there, it just keeps growing. And so you just have that sort of continuous, like, feeling of moving forward, that continuous growing purpose. But yeah,
that makes sense to me, like, because it's about, you know, expansion, and life is evolution. If you're not evolving, then you're dying.
Yeah,
you're either evolving or you're, you know, going the other direction. So and part of evolution is growing your goals and stuff. So if you have, like, one set goal, which I don't think, I mean, I don't know if most people have, like, one set goal, but I think the trick is, yeah, having those goals that can grow with you and expand, so that you always have that sense of purpose. And just, like, just enjoy what you're doing, because then why are you even bothering if you don't, if you don't enjoy the process? Why bother?
No, indeed. I was like,
find something else you enjoyed. Yeah. Working towards.
No, I agree. Like, I was chatting to, like, I consider him a friend. He was on my podcast back in October. A chap called Richard Haydock, and, like, he's an author now. And, like, it was like, I asked him, like, because he was like, yes, I would ask him, what like, who, what was your true self? Was it the person who is working at their career, like day in, day out? Or is it now at this, like, this person now, which, who is an author, who is now moved and like, who's got more free time? What was your true self? And it's like one of those things where he was like, I don't know. Yeah, because at the time he was really sort of enjoying what he was doing while he was working, like being productive, had a goal, purpose with that. And now out in retirement, it's like, it's totally different. It's like, okay, there's a lot, like people tend to, when they're in a career, that's the sum of my parts. That's what I do. When they're not, it's not just that. They might be a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, like brother, sister, like the list can go on. And when they've retired, it's like, yeah, I am. Like, what do they look on then? Is it a case of, do they look at all of the sums of their parts and go, this is me? Or do they still hang on to, yeah, I was a chief of medicine, or like, yeah, I was like this. Sometimes very difficult, I think.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of people when they retire, you know. They go through this identity crisis, like, who am I without my job?
Yeah. Because,
but it's true, but when you meet someone, most of the time, the first thing people ask is like, so what do you do? Or where do you work? That's one of the first questions someone will ask.
Yeah. So like, yeah, like, so like, this is the thing. Now, how would you say, like, looking at yourself now, what is the thing, what makes you now, Crystal? What is, like, what do you hang your hat on?
I say, I don't know, I've still been calling myself a performer and a wellness coach. I say both. I would say I would more go into the realm of wellness. Just because I feel like I've done the performing thing. I've done enough of it that I feel like I can almost say that I can move on from it. Like, even now I feel, you know, I'm not doing the 8 shows a week anymore.
Yeah.
I'm resigning myself to doing shorter contracts. So I feel like, you know, I've had a good run. Okay. Not completely. I think I still always would like to kind of be dabbling in the performing world, even if it's just a one-off thing. But I think I'm more inclined to get into the wellness world fully and just, you know, just go for it, because it's a new adventure. 1, 2, I think it's really, really needed at the moment. I think it really is. I think people, more than, you know, we've been through COVID and everything, I think people really need to get the information that is out there that isn't necessarily accessible, because it's not like, no normal person is going to go and read a scientific journal, right? Like, no one's going to go hunting for scientific literature, you know, to see what the latest health info is. So that's where we come in, right? We will look at the journals and all the information, and then we bring it to everyone else. And I think that is needed, because we just went through COVID. I think right now we're living in a society where most people are eating, you know, most of their foods from processed foods. And, you know, a lot of people are struggling with diabetes and heart disease. And I think people just need the information. People just need the information. And that's where we come in.
Okay. No. Okay. Now, final question. Before we go, like, yes, I've got to say, loving the energy, loving the, like, positivity.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Like, yeah, I always say that so I get the compliment back. I'm selfish like that. It's like, like playing a game of chess. Okay, now. Okay. This is a tough question, a very tough question. Okay. Now, which one? Okay. You've got the Harry Potter films, right? Okay. Okay.
This will come back to bite me.
Okay. out of the 6 Harry Potter films, right, which one, if you like, if all of the cast were Muppets and had one human in, which film would you choose?
All the cast were Muppets and had one human in.
Yeah.
Wait, can I choose who the human would be?
Yeah, you can choose. Yeah.
Who would be the? This is so funny. Maybe I would choose the Goblet of Fire, the fourth one. Wait, I would choose the fourth one. Who would be the human? The one human. This is a hard one. Oh! Would it be too obvious if I said Voldemort should be the human? Is that too obvious? Because I just feel like... Oh, it would be funny. Listen. Okay. If Voldemort, right? Because you know he comes at the end. Oh, if you haven't watched the fourth movie by now, I was going to say spoilers, but come on. If you haven't watched it by now, you are slacking. But the point is... But I'm sorry if I ruin the movie that is like how many 10 years old or whatever. But if Voldemort is the human and everyone else, right?
Yeah,
it would be funny because he comes in at the end and he's all serious, right? And he's all like, you know, I'm here to kill you, and everyone else is running around like a Muppet. He would look foolish. So I'm gonna say Voldemort is a human, and the fourth one, yes.
Interesting.
He would look so foolish if he was just talking to a bunch of Muppets and he's trying to be all evil.
You know what I would do? I would have Ron Weasley as the human.
Ooh.
So basically, as that love triangle between. And Miss Piggy is Hermione. You have Hermione with all that attitude and Miss Piggy with magic and karate.
Wait, in the fourth one, is the one where Hermione went to the ball with, Victor Crumb. So, are you saying that Victor Crumb would be Kermit the Frog?
Well, he could be. It could be anyone you want to be. This is the fun of this game. You can start making the whole cast. Hey, you could have that guy as Animal. Animal. It all works. Crystal, can you tell the lovely people out there how they can reach you on the interwebs, the social medias and such?
On the interwebs, my website is www.crystalnichols.com. On Instagram, you can find me at crystal_nichols. And I don't really use Twitter because I find Twitter too negative. So I don't want to. I don't like to use it.
Stay away from the dumpster fire. Yeah.
I don't like it. So just Instagram and my website.
Perfect. No worries. What I'll do, I'll put that into the show notes, the description, so people can go and find you, click on her links, and get in contact with her. Got to say, Crystal, you have been an absolute superstar, a pleasure to speak to, a joy, if I may.
Thanks, Neva. It was really, really nice talking to you. Honestly, it was so much fun. This was the most fun conversation I've ever had.
No worry. You see, that's why the check will come to you soon. Don't cash it now. It will bounce very high. Don't ever cash that check.
You better not.
I like to say thank you to you, my friends, my life warriors out there. Please stay well, stay safe, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. Have a great day, guys. Woo. Peace. And we are